before you're seated, I want you to find three more people that don't live in the same city you live in. You're going to have to work on that one. Where do you live? Where do you live? That might be a little more of a challenge for you, huh? All right, praise God. Say with me this morning, nice and loud, take a declaration. Father, in the name of Jesus, I receive your word. I refuse to be moved by what I see or what I feel. For your word is a lamp unto my feet, and it's a light unto my path. I am a word man. Or if you're a woman, whatever, you know. Look at somebody, give them a high five. Praise God. You may be seated this morning. Praise the Lord. Great to have you in the house this morning. And we're believing God tonight for a great meeting. And want you to be a part of this. And we put a lot of time and effort into this supernatural Sunday night. Tommy Tenney is coming all the way from Louisiana. He'll be here and ministering the Word of God. He is, of course, the author of Hadassah, One Night with the King, the recent movie that's been released. It was a powerful movie, and he's the author of many, many books, God Chaser and many others. And I'm looking for you and many others to join us tonight. So please be a part of this great meeting, and I know that it will be a blessing. Is this working? Am I not doing it right? What am I supposed to do? It's not hooked up yet. Okay. Well, we won't worry about it, whether it's going to be hooked up. Let me know when it is, and then we'll get started. Get your Bible out this morning. Let's go to the book of Philippians. Philippians. How many are ready for a word this morning? Now, how many have heard all this crazy stuff on ABC about some Antichrist or something? How many have you heard about that? Some guy that proclaimed to be Jesus? Or, you know, my question is, why did they even report that? It's such nonsense. It's like, you know, can't you come up with anything else to talk about other than some guy that preaches there's no heaven, there's no hell, there's no such thing as sin. I'm Jesus. Give me all your money. Now, if I said that this morning, y'all get up and walk out, wouldn't you? But how is it those people are flooding into that church and giving him their money? There's something wrong with this picture. How many have ever heard of the mark of the beast? Let me see your hand. How many know what it is? Most of us have an idea. Some say it's 666, mark of man, all those things. We're going to talk about that today. Because I believe that God's given me a revelation and understanding about this particular insight of the mark of the beast that will really change our lives forever. But here it is, Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. It says, I press toward the mark. If I say mark, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, God has a spot in your future that He's hoping that you'll get to. There's a mark in your future. There's a designated place for you. And Paul wrote, he said, God's got a mark for me. He's got a spot for me, but I've got to press toward that mark. You know, the word press by its own definition means resistance. So I've got a mark, I've got a place, I've got a designated destiny by God, but there is going to be some resistance to me trying to get there. But that's all right, because I understand I am committed to getting to that mark. There is a mark that God has for you and me. Now, we heard last week about Jabez in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. About how powerful his prayer was. Thank you for that song, Holly. And Ashley, I believe Holly wrote that song. And I don't know who did the music. Did Jonathan write the music to that? Man, you guys are really talented folk. And talk about increasing me, oh God. And stretch the place of my dwelling. You know, stretch the cords of my dwelling. And try to increase my capacity for God. And we found out that a little difference makes all the difference. You might want to write that down, because a little difference makes all the difference in your life. Because in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, we find 44 names recorded in that chapter. On the 45th name, it says this about Jabez, that he was more honorable than all of his brethren. Suddenly, name after name after name after name that had been listed, Jabez is mentioned, and God says by the Holy Spirit, he said, now this man was above everybody else. Then after the little verse about Jabez 9 and 10, it goes right back into naming everybody else one after another. They were just Mr. and Mrs. Nobodies that didn't do a thing. But it was Jabez that had a little difference in his life. The Bible said he was more honorable. The word honorable there means promoted-minded. He had something in his mind that others didn't have. So really, what we think and how we think can make a big difference in how we live. So a little difference can make all the difference in your life. He excelled in honor. In other words, he thought about promotion. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11 says this, God has put eternity in our hearts. If God's put eternity in your heart, then understand what the psalmist said in chapter 42 and verse 7, deep calls unto deep. I want you to know today that when God puts eternity in us, the Holy Spirit draws it out of us by His wooings and by His leadings and by His callings. Every person in this room who has received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, every person in this room who confesses Christ as the Son of the living God, like we were singing earlier, God has deposited in you eternity. He has deposited in you His kingdom. Now listen, that's powerful because that kingdom that's within us is attracting the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit now is aimed at one goal, and that's to draw out of us eternity. And so deep, the Holy Spirit, who knows the mind of God, begins to call to deep. That which has been deposited in you, the Holy Spirit begins to pull out of us. See, God has deposited things in us that have eternal significance. See, some of us have some gifts of the Spirit that are deposited in us that will have eternal significance. Amen. You have words of wisdom and words of knowledge that are laid up in you. You have authority and power. You have miraculous ability. You have healings and signs and wonders that God has put in you. But also many of you have increase and wealth and witty ideas and inventions and concepts that God has put in you that you don't even know that are in there. Some of us have not operated in these gifts, but there is eternity that's been deposited in us, according to Ecclesiastes 3 and 11, and it's the Holy Spirit's mission on the earth to begin to locate that eternity that's in us, wade through all the carnality, come on somebody, wade through all of our negativity, all of our fleshly concepts and ideas, all of our religiosity, dig through, dig down deep, and find that eternal deposit so He can begin to draw it out of you. And I want to declare to you today, God is starting to draw some things out of us that we never even dreamed before. Matter of fact, the Bible says things like the ear has never heard and the eye has never seen. I want us to get ready because we're in a generation now where the Holy Spirit is down to brass tacks. Did you ever hear that concept? Down to brass tacks. I mean, He's looking for people whom He will be able to draw eternity out from them, and you are going to surprise yourself. Your life is going to be a testimony. Your words are going to be an example. You see, churches God is raising up, not as ordinary churches. I think we have gone through the season of the big mega church that impresses everybody, and God says, wait a minute, I got something better than even that. I'm going to wade through all of that, because some of those things were built as kingdoms of men. But God is about to raise up a people that'll come from the north and south and east and west who cannot rest until eternity is drawn up out of their belly and God begins to show Himself strong. These, your children, are for signs and wonders. Come on, give the Lord a praise in here this morning. Do you believe that? Oh, you better praise Him. Come on, praise Him, because God wants to do great things in your life. I'm looking at millionaires in here. I'm looking at doctors, and I'm looking at those that got their doctorates. I'm looking at business people who not only own one business, but they franchise their businesses. I'm looking at authors. I'm looking at national speakers and motivational speakers. I'm looking at people who have gotten such eternity deposited in them that the Holy Spirit is so anxious to begin to draw it out. But what does it take? It takes for us to be just a little bit above average. It takes for us to just do a little bit different. In other words, be like Jabez. Be more honorable than all of his brothers. Don't be just another name in a list of names. Don't be a group of genealogy that you could look back at your family and go, oh my, there was great-great-great-grandpa, and there was great-great-grandpa, and there was great-grandpa, and there was... No, no, when they look back at your name will stand out because you will be what? More honorable, more promotion-minded than all of the rest. You and I do not have to live the life of our fathers. We do not have to live a life of those who are our peers. We do not have to live the life of our past. Come on, look at somebody and say, your future is not regulated by your past. Look at this way. Say, you know, this is the way you can look at it. Say, I am part of a great design team. See, the Holy Ghost is the lead designer. And your choices today and my choices today are designing our future now. What you've decided to do today, you decided to get up out of bed even though you had an hour less sleep. You decided to come on to church even though you had to wrangle with that pet, that rooster, that gerbil, that dog, that cat, whatever it was, and bring him to church. And you say, Pastor, I wish you wouldn't do them pet Sundays. Oh, my, it's just a... But you came anyway, and you pressed through. And see, now because you're here, you're going to get something that ordinarily you'd have missed. And it's just one word from God that will change your life forever. How many believe that? Shout hallelujah. Come on, shout forever. This is a forever kingdom. This is a forever life. This is a forever principle that we're talking about here. We're not talking about a Sunday morning that just comes and goes. We're not talking about an encounter with God that just, you know, changes us for the moment. We're talking about a forever time. We're talking about eternity here. We're talking about a release of all that God has ever planned and desired for this generation. Now say it with me. A little difference can make all the difference. Now tell somebody that and tell them, you know, with a lot of fervency. Come on, let them know. Say, a little difference can make all the difference. You see, when I got up this morning, I said, Holy Spirit, I don't want to live this day. I like what Doug told me the other day when we were meeting. He said, you know what? Yesterday ended at 12 midnight. Saturday, yesterday, March 10th, ended at 12 midnight. This is March 11th. This is a new day. His mercies were new every morning. God's about to take me on a journey. He's about to take me into a land that I've never yet explored. God is about to take me into a discovery. God is about to show me things that He has had hidden from the foundations of the world that He has waited for me to get up this morning and find. Why? Because I've got a promotion in my mind. Maybe you understand something this morning about going into realms that you've never been before. I think the church needs to start looking, not doctrinally, because our doctrine is orthodox. It's pure. It's right. You're not going to change our doctrine. But what about our experience with God? What about receiving from God more and all that He has for us? Are you satisfied with what you've got? Are you satisfied with what you know? Are you hungry? Have you come this morning hungry to go where no man has ever gone before? Shout, I'm ready. You see, where you've never gone before. Listen to this. Stream it live. Where you've never gone before. It's the cue. Here it comes.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
Well, we tried anyway. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, gentlemen. To go where no man has ever gone before. I don't want to go where other pastors have gone before in my text. I don't want to go where I prayed before in my prayers. I don't want to go to church where I've gone to church before. I'm coming tonight with an expectancy. I'm coming tonight with a demand. I'm going to tell you one thing. Tommy Tenney better be anointed. He better be ready. He better be hungry. He better have anointing on him, because I'm coming with a pull on eternity. I want the miraculous power of God to be released in this house. How about you? Give somebody a high five. See, it's time that we cross the line. We have to enlarge our territory. We have to enlarge our territory. We need to enlarge our territory. We have to enlarge ourselves. We need to start thinking bigger. We need to start thinking more. We need to start looking at the next step. We need to start thinking about, how can I do this bigger? How can I do this greater? How can I reach more people? What can I do to be able to expand this kingdom of God? God, give me more responsibility. And this is a generation where we are running from responsibility. Fathers all over this generation are walking away from children and wives and not paying their child support. And we don't want responsibility. And it comes from two words, responsible. We're not a response-able generation. But God's raising up a men and women of God who are saying, I'm responsible. Give it to me, God. I'll be responsible. I want more responsibility in the kingdom of God. See, I don't need more money. I don't need more things. I don't need more cars. I don't need more houses. I don't need more of that stuff. Just give me more responsibility, God. Give me greater responsibility. And with responsibility will come the provision, so that I can steward what you've given me. See, we've got it reversed. We want the money without the responsibility. Come on, somebody. We want the blessings without the responsibility. But God has laid a mandate upon us as a people in this hour that we have responsibility for the nations of this earth. We have a responsibility for the nations of this earth. We have a responsibility for the children of this generation, for the crackheads of this generation, for the prostitutes of this generation, for race reconciliation in this generation, for prayer in this generation, for our cities in this generation. God's given us responsibility. We can come in and go out of church every Sunday and act like it's not our job. Like some folks go to work and they don't do anything unless it's their job. And if somebody hadn't told you to do it, nobody does it. This is an hour we need to shake ourselves. We need to go a little level, little higher than the average. We need to make a little difference out of our normalcy and our regular life and say, no, wait a minute. I'm taking this thing to another level. If nobody else does, I am. I want more responsibility. Hallelujah. I can do it. You can do it. You're capable of much more than what you're doing. You and I have a capacity much larger, much greater. See, this is the pathway to blessing, is by receiving responsibility, by enlarging our territory. I got up this morning and said, wait a minute, I was born for more than this. I am too good for just this. Now, I'm not trying to be arrogant. I'm just trying to tell you something. I'm too smart. I'm too strong. I'm too talented. Too handsome. You know what I'm saying? I got too much education. I got too much experience. I know too many people for just this. I want more. Come on, lift your hands up and shout, I want more, Jesus. Come on, tell him again, I want more. I was born for this, man. God worked on me all these years to get me to this place so that I can enlarge my territory. I'm going to cross the line. Devil, you're in trouble. We're going further. We're going faster. We're going deeper. We're going higher. And see, God has given us a pathway to blessing. Go back to Genesis chapter 12. You know the scripture well, but I want to read it again. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. And God's speaking to Abraham. And he told Abraham, he said, look, I want you to get out of your country. I want you to get out of your country. I want to get you out of from where your family is. I want you out of your father's house. See, in other words, you got to leave where you've been. You've got to let go of stuff that you know, the familiar. See, the familiar is what's been holding you back. See, some of us are afraid to go to college and take another course. Some of us feel like we need to never do it. We just feel all this anxiety and that the devil's lied to us that we're not qualified, we're not capable, and that you could never be a business person. Wait a minute. Leave your father's house. Leave that mentality. Leave that mentality that says you'll always be in government housing. Leave that mentality that says you'll never own your own home. You gotta leave those influences that say you were a troublemaker when you were a kid. You're a troublemaker now, and you'll be nothing but a troublemaker. And you'll be one of that kind of person that they put the mark on in the family and thought that you were just the goofy one, that you were always into hula hoops and some other fad, some stone, pet stone, rock or something. Anything that came out, you had to buy. But God says, wait a minute, leave all that mentality that's been holding you down and keeping you back. Don't let your father and mother's environment that they created in your life and cause you to be raised in that environment to contain you any longer. God had to say, you need to get out from this halfway thinking mentality, and I want you to know that unless you leave it, you can't be what I want you to be. Church, we've got to forget about who we are. Forget those things that are behind us. Come on, we got to forget those things behind us, and we got to start pressing towards what? The spot, the mark, the designated place that God has for you and for me. My God, I feel like a cheerleader in here this morning. To a land that I will show you. I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you. I'll make your name great. See, God didn't say I'm going to make your name just partially great, or I'm going to let few people know you. He said, I'm going to make your name great. Well, I'm going to say, look, I got the blessing of Abraham through Jesus Christ, according to Galatians chapter 3. So God, you have to make Cayton's name great. I want my name great. He said, well, that's pretty arrogant. Well, that's up to you, but I'm just reading the Bible. It says that I can have my name great. He said, no, that was for Abraham. No, honey, I'm in the Abrahamic covenant through Christ. So therefore, if God made his name great, he's got to make my name great. That's not, I don't want any honor and any privilege to me. It's going to go all to Jesus. But I want you to right now to know. I mean, I got an email this week, and I said, God, that is a provision. That is a fulfillment of what you declared. I got one from Africa, and they said, Pastor, I just want you to know that pastors all over that region where you were there last time, that's all they do is talk about you and how much reverence they have for you. And I said, well, it's not about me. It's about the Jesus in me. But I'll take that reputation, because God said that he's going to give you a name that's great. See, some of you hearing this for the first time, and you're thinking, my Lord, what kind of church is this? I just want to be one of those names in 44 lists. I just want to be one of those people that don't do anything. I just want to file in, file out. I don't want to make a difference. I don't want to change things. I don't want more responsibility. I just want my two cats, and I want the yard, and I want the picket fence, and I want the two-car garage. I want to retire early. I want to go to Florida. I want to enjoy myself, play bocce ball. This probably is not the church for you. And you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. See, this is a promise to this family. But you go back to chapter 11, the same book, Genesis. Look at verse 31. Follow along with me. And I think you have those scriptures, and I don't know what they're, can they do that or they can't do that. Anyway, verse 31. It says, and Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot and the son of Haran and the daughter-in-law Sarai and his son Abram's wife. And they went out and with them from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. And they came to Haran and dwelt there. See, what happened is Haran was halfway. Haran was halfway to the promises of God. And it tells us that in the days of Terah were 205 years, and he died in Haran. You know, a lot of us are dying 50% of the way. We're dying right where we have been settled in our mind to give up and to just be content with where we are. We're dying there. I don't want to die prematurely. I don't want to give it up early. I want to go all the way with God. I figured if I'm going to get married and I'm going to stick it out 35 years, I'm going to enjoy this thing, right? I mean, if I'm going to kiss her, I'm going to kiss her. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if I'm going to eat, I'm going to eat, man. You know, I'm going to enjoy life. I mean, why just play with this thing? He said, come to church, and I'm going to worship, and I'm just going to bless the Lord. Man, get crazy for God. I mean, get your Bible out and say, oh, God, thank you for the word, Jesus. You know, we sit there so sacrilegious. We said, well, now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country and from your family. Man, give me a little bit of life. Give me a little bit of emotion, you know. I mean, if you're going to read it, you might as well read it, right? You might as well enjoy it. But he went halfway. He went halfway and died. And finally, when he died, he was able to remap his territory. It was that which Abram had to do until Terah died. He couldn't get out of the box. And I'm asking, what is it that's in you? Okay, forget this thing. It's not working. What's in you that has to die so you can map your territory? What is it that has to leave you? You should be asking the Holy Spirit that this week. That should be one of your number one prayer priorities. Lord, what is it that has to die in order for me to remap my territory, to enlarge my borders? What do I need to let go of? Who do I need to let go of? Watch out. Who do I need to let go of to move outside of my boundary lines? You know, some people, when you talk to them personally or on the phone, you don't even have to talk to them. You know what they're going to say. Same thing they said last time. You don't have to ask them, how you doing? You know they're going to say the same thing they said last time. Well, you know. You don't have to ask them. Why even bother calling them? Why not send them a little note or a letter? Say, look, the next time I call you, surprise me. You know anybody like that? Move outside the boundary lines. Cross the line. Look at somebody and say, cross the line. So you got to tell the devil, I'm crossing the line of lack. I'm crossing the line of insufficiency. I'm crossing the line of insecurity. I'm crossing the line of irresponsibility. I'm crossing the line of not enough. I'm crossing the line of the curse into the blessing. But until you make that declaration, you'll stay right where you are. You won't move. I wish I could just live in your back pocket for a week. I wish I could be a fly on your wall. And then my face would appear on that fly and I'd say, hey! cross the line! You were born for more than that! Just sabotage you, man. I mean, I wish I was in your closet, in your bedroom, you know. You come in here grumbling, complaining, I'd say, hey, you were born for more than that. Sometimes we need to get somebody to move us, push us, kick us, shove us. You know, sometimes we always say, oh, Lord, move on us, Lord. Holy Spirit, no. Holy Ghost, shove us to the ground. Push us over on the other side, Holy Ghost. Whatever you got to do, get rough with me, baby. I like it rough, God. I've been pansies for so long. Tiptoeing through the tulips of God's blessings, just being dainty and all acceptable and normal and everything. I preached in a church last Sunday night in Kentucky, and they were going through the worship. There was a young lady up there that was trying to worship. She was getting it, you know. She was trying, but she was guarded because everybody else around her was kind of like set the tempo, and she didn't want to break out too much further than what everybody else had, you know, gone. Because we tend to kind of relate to our environment. We tend to kind of blend in, you know. Nobody else is shouting. It's like, I don't want to really shout when everybody else is shouting. And so I got there and preached. I was watching the congregation. They were doing the very same thing. There were people worshiping, but they had just reached a point of not crossing the line. And so I started preaching on that, and I said, you know, you got to make a decision. You got to make a decision. If God's shaking you and moving you and pushing you, then forget who's around you. Forget what other people are going to say and what everybody else thinks. I mean, you know, we ought to. I'm so hungry. I'm so hungry. I mean, I've seen a few people coming up at the altar this morning. That was nice. That was nice. You know, but most of us, I mean, when I think about what God's done for me, I mean, He ain't done nothing for you, has He? Has God done anything for anybody here? Let me see your hand. Okay, we come into church and act like He ain't done nothing. We're talking about, I will bless the Lord forever. Sandy's singing her heart out. We're going, bless His name. I mean, if He saved you out of some sin and some mess, if He brought you out of some difficulty and some challenge and some crises in your life, if He healed your body, if He turned your life around, if you gave you hope in heaven and eternity, somebody ought to praise the Lord in this place. Come on, get up on your feet and give Him a shout. Get up on your feet and give Him a shout. Get up on your feet and give Him praise. Come on. God is worthy of our praise. Hallelujah. Woo-hoo. Yeah. 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 Now here you go. Here you go. Here you go. Turn to two people. Give them a double high five. Don't be messing around. You can be seated. Shout with me, remap your territory. See, God's looking for people who want more. Anybody in here want more? We had a movement, and I don't know, I guess it's still in the church, but, you know, people praying for people, and they're like waving at them saying, more, more. Okay, that's cool, but it's more than a wave, man. It's the way you live and move and have your being. How you pay your bills, how you relate to your family, how you minister to your church, how much money you give to missions. Oh, we want more and more. And we fall on the floor and get up the same. It's still chintzy. You haven't given any money. You don't serve in your local church. You're griping and complaining about everybody. And yet you want more and more and more. I'm going to give you nothing but a slap in the cheek. Right? We want more of we want more responsibility. I don't need, you see, you get more of God when you have more responsibility. We want we want God without the responsibility. Come on now. You know that's right. In Isaiah 6 and verse 8 says, here am I, send me. God, you know, the prophet said, here am I. You got to send me. You can't find anybody else? I'll do it. I'll do it. So I'll do it. I don't care if it's a nursery, children's church, or picking up dog poop on the carpet. I'll do it. He wasn't too dignified. Stand up, Bruce. Look how dignified. Looks like he come out of GQ every Sunday. Look at it. Now, I just want to point him out. Don't be shaking his hand after church because he didn't wash it. He did. He washed his hand. He's down there picking up rabbit driblets or whatever they were. I don't know. And then you see little Andrea. Not Andrea. Alexandria, she came in there with some bottle of 409. You know, we don't wait for somebody to say, can you please? I wish we'd get to a generation in this hour where we have to say, would you, can you, will you please? Like, you know, I feel like I'm begging everybody. Could you please come back to church tonight, please? Don't make me embarrassed in front of Tommy Tanny. Would you please come? Please, please, pretty please. I'll give you all $5 and a chicken dinner if you come. We get somebody to help us in the nursery, please. Please, the babies need you. Oh, please. Please, somebody help us with the children's church. Be nice if somebody says, I'll get that poop. Get out of the way. I'm getting that poop. That's my blessing. Don't take my blessing. Bruce, you blessed. Go to in Revelation chapter 7. Perhaps one of the greatest scriptures in the Bible. Revelation chapter 7. I pray the Holy Spirit will bring understanding to us in the next few minutes of this message and teach us. Verse 1, after these things I saw four angels standing at the corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or on any tree. Can you imagine the stillness? Can you imagine the quietness? Nothing moving. All the earth under the abeyance of his command. No wind. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, "Do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God on their" what? Now we know about the mark of the beast, that the mark of the beast will be placed either on the hand and or the forehead. But Revelation chapter 7 tells us that there is a mark of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the angel of the Lord himself will place upon those who made a decision to receive that mark. Now, if I were to ask this question, every hand would go up here this morning. How many want to be marked on your forehead by the Lord Jesus Christ? Every hand would go up. If I were to ask the question, how many want to be marked by the beast, either on your forehead or your hand? No one would raise their hand. Yet, according to Scripture, there will be those in this room who would say they want the mark of the Lordship of Christ, that will indeed receive the mark of the beast. You say, "Well, Pastor, how can that be?" Could you do this for me? Because I can't seem to get it to work right. I don't know what I'm doing. But I want you to look at Revelation 13, verse 16 and 17. Revelation 13, verse 16 and 17. Revelation 13, 16 and 17. Are you there? Say amen. Amen. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive the mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may what? Buy or sell, except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now we chose this photo of a barcode placed on the forehead of this precious young lady. And what this depicts is the mark of the beast. Note this. In verse 16, it says, he causes all. So it matters not if you're small in the eyes of men or great, rich or poor, free or slave. It doesn't matter who you are, where you're from. The Bible says that those will receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads will not be able to buy or sell except one who has the mark of the name of the beast for the number of his name. Notice this. The mark of the beast is in relationship to possessions and positions, ruling over a person's life. Now I'm going to just share this as sober as I possibly can, because the depth of the seriousness of what I'm about to say, I don't know, has paralleled anything I've ever said about the end times. That mark of the beast will be given to those who lived life or live their life with possessions and positions ruling over them. So it does not matter if you come to church or don't come to church. If you're rich and have lots of money or you have nothing, doesn't matter. The whole purpose of that mark is so that it's an economic mark, meaning it has its jurisdiction in possessions and positions. And as long as possessions and positions have their jurisdiction in your life, then that mark will be placed upon you. It's not a matter of standing in line and reporting to the SS office and getting there and get the mark. You've already decided to take the mark how you're living your life at this very moment. Whether or not possessions and positions rule you. Let's put it this way. You cannot serve God and money at the same time. So what the Lord is giving us opportunity to do during this season, during this age that we live in, is to make a decision. Is Jesus Lord of your life? Or is money the Lord of your life? You say, well, Pastor, everybody needs money. That's not what I'm talking about. It's all right to have money. The key is, does money rule you? So you see, giving has little to do with the amount that I give or in even the environment I give it. It has everything to do with my heart relationship with God. I can give tithe and yet still be under the lordship of money. Now that's very rare because most people that genuinely tithe are people who have taken the mark of the lordship of Christ. People who are not givers are normally people who have not submitted to lordship of Christ. Now that's generally. That's generally I'm speaking. So the mark of the beast is an economic mark, and it will determine the financial future of this world. We've got to decide now, church. There will be no decision later. We must decide now who we're serving. You see, freedom is required for true worship. There can be no obedience from the heart unless there's freedom to disobey. That's why God has given us freedom to not offer Him the first fruits, the tithe, and the offering. You don't have to do it. He wants you to do it willingly. That's why it's no longer under the law. It never was under the law. It preceded the law. And God said, Abraham, you can do this if you want to. And Abraham said, I want to. And he did, paying tithe to Melchizedek. But see, we have to have total freedom in order to disobey. And in this hour, according to church statistics, 80% of the church has chosen to disobey. Now, I told you it's going to get a little quiet in here. We had our little pop fun here the first half hour of this message. It's going to get better before it gets worse. Look at somebody say, it's not going to end like this. But I want you to go over to Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 12. And if you'll put it up on the screen, I can read it. It has reference there to something that's very important. If your brother, a Hebrew, or a woman, Hebrew, is sold to you and serves you 6 years. Then in the seventh year, you shall let them go free from you. Next scripture. Now, that's important to understand. As a slave in the Hebrew culture, you only had to serve 6 years. After 6 years, it was free to go. But watch this. And when you send him away free from you, you shall not let him go away empty-handed. So now you had to bless the man. So he had to leave you being blessed. You shall supply him liberally from your flock, from your threshing floor, and from your wine press. From what the Lord has blessed you with, you shall give to him. However, you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. Therefore, I command you this thing today. Continue. And if it happens that he says to you, I will not go away from you, because he loves you and your house, since he prospers with you, then you shall take an owl and thrust it through his ear to the door, and he shall be your servant forever. Also to your female servant, you shall do likewise. Here's the analogy. Jesus said, you don't have to serve me if you don't want to. But if you want to, then step up here and let me help you. Come here, Bruce. You the man. We would get you up against the door. You already got two ears pierced. I was going to wear an earring this morning, but I couldn't find the thing that just clipped on. I wanted to freak everybody out. But he would take his ear and he would put it up against the door and he would pound that through into the door and literally hold him on that wood. Pull it out, and that mark would symbolize bond servants, no longer slave. Now, what's the difference? A slave is I purchased and you had no choice in the matter. You're now my property. A bond servant is you give yourself willingly to me because you love me and you love the prosperity that comes to you because you're hooked up with me. Okay, thank you. So you see, there's the difference. So what is the mark of the Lordship of Jesus Christ? It is the bondservant. So no longer wanting to take our faith as something I have to do. This is what's required for me to do. No. I willingly offer my life as a bondservant to you. Now, here's the question. A bondservant doesn't have any money. If you can flip to the next slide. Doesn't have any money of his own. Actually, go back to the slide of the mark of Christ. Doesn't have any money of his own. He can't spend freely any of his money. Has no time of his own. Even his family does not belong to him. He recognizes all that he has belongs to his master. That's a bondservant. In other words, we rule over possessions and positions. That's the mark of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. However, the mark, show the next slide, the mark of the beast is possessions and positions rule over us. Why? Because we have not become willing bond servants to God. So here's the question. Is Jesus the Lord of your life? Go to the Lordship slide. When Christ is our life, our trust, our true desire, he can trust us with earthly possessions and positions that we are called to rule over. When he is not our Lord and all we have is a mental assent, go to the next slide. If all we have is a mental assent, possessions and positions will inevitably rule over us, and whoever rules is Lord. That's why the mark of the beast is a money mark. It's an economic mark. Because God knew that man wrestles between God and mammon. We wrestle with it. People kill for money. People go to jail for money. People take great risks for money. People serve money in this generation in a more ardent fashion than they do even God. People will go to the limit for money and back off when it comes to God. Think about it for a minute. Think about what money will do to a person because they are what? Enslaved. They can't even control themselves. They get possessed by greed. They get possessed by the greenback. They get possessed. They got to have it. They got to have more of it. They want to build larger barns and bigger towers and they want to hoard it because they're enslaved. But think of the Christian who is now Jesus is Lord. We're looking for opportunities to give it. Because we know that when you give, it shall be given unto you. Good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall man give into your bosom. See, I know I'm hooked up to a master who prospers me. I'm hooked up to a Savior who prospers me, and I willingly have become a bondservant. So I'm asking you today, you see, a spirit of poverty is like mold. It needs dark places, damp places, selfish places, fleshly places to grow. But choose today, the next slide, and take his mark or take the mark of the beast. You say, I'll never take the mark of the beast. You may have already taken it and don't even know it. God and Satan are both attempting to kill us. Let me say that one more time. Because some of you looked at me and went, huh? God and Satan are both trying to kill us. Satan's trying to destroy us. God's trying to give us abundant life. But it comes through the cross. With Satan, there is no hope. And with God, there is great hope. Church on the North Coast, I believe this revelation has come to us today to prepare us for the future. To teach our children the mark of the beast. To not be deceived by foolishness on television. Be it ABC or be it CNN or Fox News. I don't care who reports it and what they say about it. I don't care what religion teaches and what doctrine comes out about the mark of the beast and the barcode and don't do this and better not take a credit card and watch those cell phones. And listen, that's a bunch of baloney. I'm going to tell you what it is. It's right here. That's where the mark's coming from, right out of your heart. Don't be fooled into some of this religious jargon out there, people trying to scare you and trying to teach you things that aren't in the Bible. This all has to do with whether or not you're a bondservant of Jesus Christ and you rule over possessions, or does possessions rule over you? That's the bottom line as far as I can see in the Bible. And you know what? That's easy for me. I'm going to let Jesus be the Lord of my life. Amen? I'm going to let Him be the Lord and the controller of my life. Hallelujah. Amy Cook. Where are you? Come on up here for a minute. Jim, you coming with her? You can get her a microphone. You got to listen to this. This is powerful. The other week I was preaching about Elijah and the widow at Zarephath. Remember that message a couple of weeks ago? And I was sharing about what you have need of, you don't have, but you have in your house in order to make what you need. And God will take what you have in your house to make what you need. Come on up here so they can see you guys, you handsome couple. And so Amy got that word, and she began to share a testimony with me. And here's a microphone here. And I just wanted to take a minute to share this because it was pretty powerful. So tell us kind of what happened after that message that day.
Okay. I had been praying for God to give me a seed for the spring seed this year. We've kind of come through some couple of rough years in our lives, and I just felt this huge burden this year. I just needed a seed, and so I began to pray and ask God to show it to me, and we went to Saturday morning prayer 2 weeks ago, and God put in my heart provision. I just couldn't get past the word provision and just began to pray on it, and I just felt this peace come over me, like, it's going to be okay. He's going to supply the need. He's going to supply a spring seed for me. And, you know, we've been here 27 years, and spring seed comes every year, and we you know, give what we can and stuff. But it was always a different approach for me. So this year I just felt like it was from a different point of need. And I, as I prayed, when the provision came, it was, pastor was preaching about Elisha went to the woman, and he asked for the loaf of bread, and that was her last loaf. And Elisha said she had to go make it. She had to use her hands and make it, take the oil and the flour, and she had to make it. And as I was sitting in the seat over there, God just poured it out on me. He said, you have seed. He said, you have to make it. You have to go in your house. And I sell stuff on eBay. It's kind of a fun thing I do. And he said, you have a room full of stuff that you can sell, and that's your seed. And so it's been 2 weeks now, and he's provided a seed for me. And in giving the seed, I had to say, God, you know, this is now your seed. And whatever it is, whether it be $50 or $500, that's the seed that you've supplied me with. And God's so good. It's now several hundred dollars that he's provided for me for a seed who didn't have a seed. And I just feel the blessing that God has provided that, and that I'm faithful, and in being faithful and going and doing. And, you know, I could have sat home and said, okay, you know, sell that stuff and not really put any effort into it, and it wouldn't have sold. But what I had to do is go, and I spent time, you know, putting the stuff and doing it. And I was telling Pastor that not only did some of the stuff sell, it sold more than it should have. the stuff sold more. Some of the stuff I've sold before, and I got, like, nothing. And I just, God's blessing is on it. And I know that the word came at prayer, and I just encourage everybody to come to Saturday morning prayer. I got to throw that in. It's been an awesome time of God. If you have the time at 10 o'clock, God's here, and come out and bring your kids and just sit in prayer with us. I think that's
it's good.
Jim wants to say something.
Sure.
And like the story in the Bible with the widow, and she had all she had. God asked her, or the prophet asked her to provide something, and all she had was the flour and the oil. And that's what we did. We looked, and what do we have? We don't have bread. We don't have the money, but we have this and we have this. She had to make a choice. And I like to look at Bible verses and think, okay, what if they didn't? What would have happened if she didn't? She had a choice. She could have went ahead and just ate it. And then she would have died because her provision would have ran out. And her son eventually did die, but he would have died also. And we have a choice. Now we have the bread. We have a choice next week, spring seed, to either eat it,
right,
and what will happen with that, or we can take the seed, and the seed will become something else and change lives and produce miracles and produce life, and we will live, or we can eat it, and we have to make that choice, and everyone here has to make that choice next week. And think of the seed. The seed isn't just the food you're eating now. It's going to produce something in the future. And God's given a word to this congregation too. I believe that we need to see miracles. We need to see healings. We need to see supernatural in our day now. And the reason it needs to happen is not necessarily for us. We know. We've seen. We realize. It's the children. It's the generation that's out there that's not saved. It's the youth on the second and third row. It's my kids. It's your kids. They need to see the hand of God move to know who God is and what he is and what he can do. And if we eat that seed, just think, go down that road in your mind. If I eat that seed, what I'm giving up, what's going to cost my life, my family, and those people out there.
Thank you guys so much. That is awesome. I appreciate that. Thanks, Amy. Thanks, Jim. Hallelujah. How many feel like blessing the Lord with your tithe and your offering this morning? I feel like blessing Him. I feel like making a declaration that Jesus is Lord and money is not. So if you're making a check, make it out to CNC. And Sandra, can you sing? You have another song? Are you going to sing something special?